You will please open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to be starting in verse 14 here shortly, so Philippians 4, 14, and if you'll go ahead and turn there and mark that, we'll get back there shortly. Now, this morning, we conclude our series on belonging, where we've been talking about what it means to belong and be part of the body of Christ, and more specifically, what it means to belong to our church. And kind of as a way of summary, as we've looked at the book of Acts as this backdrop of the early church and learned from them, in week one, we talked about making the commitment that I'm in, that you're in, meaning that there has been a time in your life where you've repented of your sin, you've believed in the gospel, that you received the grace of God. In week two, we talked about how I'm still in, because even though we are believers, that doesn't mean that life is easy. Actually, it may get harder as believers in Christ. But we can have confidence that God is using the difficulties and the hardships to grow us in our faith so that we become more and more like Jesus Christ. In week three, we discussed how we're in this together. Because the Christian life is not to be lived in isolation, but rather we want to engage and be part of a community of other believers. And so that may be in your Sunday school class. That may be a couple of friends that you meet here at church. But whatever it may be, that you have a group of believers there to help you and support you and help build you up. And then last week we looked at how each of us, because of our union with Christ and our union with each other, that we are uniquely gifted. Paul used the metaphor of our physical human body to make his point where our body has different members, such as our feet and our hands, and all these members of our body have a certain function. And so we as a church, each of us is gifted to fulfill that role and that function so that we are witnesses of Christ to a hurting world. And this morning, as we conclude our series, we are talking about giving back. And this is so fitting because we began the series with the grace of God that we received. As we know that grace better, as we experience that grace each and every day, we want to give back to the Lord. We want to give back to God in our time and our energy. But as we'll specifically be looking at this morning, we want to give back of our financial resources. Now, I know for some of you, particularly if you're kind of new to our church and we've been going through this Belong series, you're saying, okay, you're going to end by talking about money. I knew it. That's why you want me to belong. I can remember I had this conversation, it's a true story, a couple years ago with a neighbor of mine, and we were talking about church, and I was trying to invite him to go to church and all that good stuff. And he said, well, I don't pretend, attend this particular church anymore because all they ever did was ask for money. So that may be you. You might be thinking something similar. Or you may feel uncomfortable about this topic. Because isn't money something that should be more private? We shouldn't really talk about it so openly. Or you may have a sense of guilt when it comes to money and this whole topic. It's kind of like sometimes I've struggled with, I know I need to share my faith better. I know I need to be more evangelistic. And so then when I hear a sermon on that, it doesn't help. It just makes me feel more guilty. And so you might be thinking that as well. And so believe me, it can be tough. I get it. But the thing is, when it comes to the topic of money, we can't escape it from the Bible. It's everywhere. I ran across this stat this week that 2,300 verses, now there's about 31,000 verses in the Bible, 2,300 speak about giving and about money. That's about 8%. So think about that. All the different topics and doctrine that we find in the Bible, and about 8% talks about our finances. On top of that, Jesus, who obviously had a lot of good things to say, a third of his messages, his sermons, if you will, spoke about giving. So we can see the importance of finances. And so as we look at our passage this morning, my hope is that you see the importance that Paul is going to give us when it comes to giving and giving back. But here's what is so encouraging and amazing about God. Because even though we need to give back to him for the grace that we've received, God in his amazing grace for us continues to give back to us. And so when we give to him, he quickly returns it. And we cannot escape the grace of God when it comes to our giving. And so as we begin, first of all, when it comes to our giving, you need to realize that your giving is an act of partnership. Look with me at Philippians 4:14. Paul says, "Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need." So throughout this series, we've looked at the book of Acts as this backdrop. And what we talked about, what we touched about last week was Acts 28, and we find the Apostle Paul, he's under house arrest. And he's under house arrest for 2 years. But even though he was chained to a guard 24 hours a day, and those guards would just continue to rotate, and Paul would not get out of those chains for 2 years, he still shared the gospel. Visitors were still allowed, and he would teach people the gospel. But also during that time, Paul wrote four letters, what we've come to know as the four prison letters. And one of those letters is this book of Philippians. And this letter to the Philippians is a thank you note from Paul. They had sent him financial support while he was in Rome. So Philippi is the city that they are in, and he is in Rome. It's 800 miles away, and yet they sent this financial support to him. But not only did they send him support while he was in Rome, for about a 10-year period, they helped with all his ministry expenses. And Paul says in both verse 14 and 15 that this Philippian church shared with Paul in his troubles, and they shared in the matters of giving and receiving. And when Paul uses this word share, it means to be a partner together with others. And what he is getting at is when we give our financial resources, when we give our money to ministry, we are in partnership. Have you ever thought about your giving in this way? That when you give your money to our church or to different ministries, that you are a partner in ministry, that you are a co-laborer. And while we each need to be engaged in ministry and be serving, as we talked about last week, we need to use the unique gifts that God has given us. The point that Paul is making is that even if you don't specifically participate in a certain ministry, you are still a partner. You are still a co-laborer. I love that terminology. So how does this play out in our local church? Let me just share a few ways. First of all, we support missionaries in different parts of the world, specifically in the Middle East, in Africa, and in England. And the missionaries we support are working to understand the culture better. They're working to understand the language so that they can reach certain specific people groups. And they're working hard to learn the culture in this language so that they plant churches and gather groups of people to establish churches. We have missionary family that is working with children in Christian education so that the lives of these kids are improved, and so that they hear about the love of Christ. And we have missionaries that we support that are working to train up other leaders to plant churches, and so that the gospel can spread across the world. And though we are not part and specific in these ministries as far as being there, because of our financial giving, you are a partner. Amen. You are a co-laborer in this work. And then here in our own community, your giving helps those in financial need, those who are struggling with rent and different expenses. And so as a church, we help them, but also we provide the support, and Mindy does such a great job of this, of helping them get to financial sustainability. And then also through your giving, we are able to provide discipleship for our kids and our teenagers. I want you to think about it in these terms. What is one of the greatest mission fields in our community? What is one of the greatest mission fields in our homes? And it's our kids. Because just because they may have a Christian mom or a Christian dad does not mean that they're going to be believers. And so we need to work hard in the home, but we also need to partner with the church. And because of your giving, we can do that. And we have staff members that are dedicated and working hard to do this. We're able to have a fun and engaging environment. And because of your partnership, we are seeing fruit in this area. That our kids and our teenagers are learning about Christ. They're coming to faith in Jesus, and they are being baptized. And these are just a few of the ministry areas, and I could go on and on, just a few. And so know that your giving, your partnering in the ministry, your co-laboring is doing much for Christ, because Christ is being made known. People are being cared for. People are seeing the hope that we have in Jesus. And then secondly, when it comes to your giving, you need to realize that your giving is an act of spiritual growth. Look at verse 17 where Paul says, "Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account." So again, Paul is writing to this Philippian church. And though Paul was very grateful for the financial support and the gifts that they had given him, this is not his main concern. This is not what really actually interested him. What he cared about was the giving that applied to them, that was credited to their account for the fruit that they were experiencing. I like how the ESV translates verse 17 where it says, "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit." And I like that word fruit because so often we are called to bear fruit in the Christian life. We see this in Galatians 5 where we are told to bear the fruit of the Spirit. We're to grow in patience and love and kindness, this list that Paul gives us. But we may not always think that our financial giving is helping to produce fruit in our lives. But when we give, when we sacrificially give, does this not produce fruit in your life? Does it not produce growth? You may say, how? And the reason is because giving of our hard-earned money is so hard to do. We don't want to give it up. We want to hold tightly to it. We've worked hard for it. But when we give, we are trusting in God. Amen. That He is going to use those resources to help people come to Christ. But He's also going to supply our needs, that He's going to provide for us. And so when we give, the Lord is working in us to grow us so that we trust Him and so that we rely on Him. But here we see the grace of God, even in our giving. Because Paul says that when we give, our account, your heavenly account, grows. So I have a retirement account. I'm sure many in this room have a retirement account. I have a number of years so I can access this thing. But I like to check the account value. This year's been good. I'll pull up my account and go, ooh, I'm very smart on the funds I've selected. But actually, everybody's smart this year because the market keeps going up and up. But I know that I have a long stretch and this account value is going to go up and it's going to go down. It's going to fluctuate. But this is not how your heavenly account works. Because when we give, God in His grace credits our account and it never goes down. It never fluctuates. And I don't know how it all works. It's kind of confusing. It's kind of even odd to think about rewards in heaven, isn't it? Because we know that we've been saved not by our good works, but because of the work of Christ. We're saved by grace. And though we're saved by grace, we want to give back. And again, God in His grace and mercy and His great love for us, He says, when you give back to me, I'm going to give back to you. I'm going to grow your heavenly account. And so one day you are going to receive a reward in heaven. And Jesus even says this. This isn't just Paul. We see in Matthew 6:20 where Jesus says, "But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in or steal." And so as you give, you are not only a partner in the work of ministry, but know that when you give, the Lord is growing you spiritually, and that one day you will receive this heavenly reward. And then lastly, your giving is an act of worship, an act of worship. Look at verse 18. "I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. In the Old Testament sacrificial system, a priest would take a sacrifice and they would put it on the altar. And then they would pour incense on this sacrifice and it would be burned up and this smoke would rise up. And the Old Testament refers to it as the sweet smelling aroma to the Lord. The sacrifice was pleasing to God. This is such an appropriate verse, I think, for this week as we think about Thanksgiving and all the sweet smelling aromas that we're going to be enjoying. And what I love about this imagery that Paul references, this sweet-smelling aroma rising up to God, is that God is pleased by our sacrifices. That when we give, God is pleased, and it smells good to him, if you will. You know, so often we talk about God's love and his mercy, and though at times we may struggle that God actually loves us, I think it's much easier for us to accept that God actually does love us and that he's gracious to us. But I think it's rare that we walk around thinking that God is pleased with us. I think if we're honest, we think God is kind of always irritated with us, at least a little bit maybe angry with us because we don't live the way that we always should, that there's sin in our life. And so we definitely don't think that God is pleased by what we do. But Paul is saying when you give, your giving is pleasing to God. In fact, it makes God happy. And not only is your giving pleasing to God, but your giving is an act of worship. And similar to how we may not think that God is pleased by our efforts, we don't always view our financial giving as worship. It doesn't feel like worship, does it? We think of worship as singing and hearing God's word taught, of praying, but giving our money, it just doesn't feel very worshipful. But Paul is saying it is worship. And just like giving a sacrifice on the altar in the Old Testament was an act of worship, in a similar way, when you give your money, when you give your financial resource to the work of ministry, to the cause of Christ, the sacrifice not only pleases the Lord, but it's an acceptable act of worship to him. And then Paul, as he gets close to ending this section, he again mentions God's grace because, again, even in the midst of our giving back to God, God continues to give us grace. And Paul says in verse 19, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." This is a promise that Paul is giving, a promise of the Lord that when we give, as hard as it may be, that we can trust God, that he will supply our needs. And he may supply our needs directly. I've heard of amazing stories of how people will open their mailbox up and the Lord has supplied money that they needed. But the Lord may also supply needs in this body of believers where we know that there is hurt, that we know that we need to help others, and that we can rise up and financially support each other. As we conclude, I want to share just kind of a practical way that you can get involved in giving. Because you may be saying, I want to be a partner in this. I want to grow spiritually. So just kind of a couple practical things. First of all, when it comes to giving, make your giving a priority. Make it the first thing you do. So whatever the amount that you may decide to give, I encourage you, I challenge you, begin this week. Make it a priority. And then second, pick a percentage. You know, we can get into that whole discussion of the tithe, which is 10% of our income. That's a sermon for another day. But what I want to encourage you to do is just pick a percentage. Because if you don't give that frequently or you're kind of new to church, to say all of a sudden, hey, give 10% of your money to the local church, that's a big ask. So I would encourage you to pick a percentage. It may be 2% or 4% or 6%, whatever it is, but pick that percentage and commit to give it to the Lord over this next year. And give it systematically, whether that's monthly or weekly. And then when this time comes around next year, look to increase it. And so you may start at 4% and next year it goes to 6 and on and on. But as we close, I want to share this with you. Because just as Paul was thanking the Philippian church for their financial support, I want to thank you for your financial support, for your partnership in the gospel. Because in a couple of weeks ago, as Amanda was mentioning, it's going to be about a year that we've been in this church building, but it's also going to be the 3-year anniversary of our capital campaign that so many of you were involved with. And 3 years ago, I mean, that seems sometimes to me like a long time. Other times, it seems like it went by so quick. And I can remember getting your cards that listed out your pledge and going to my office and all alone just going through those cards and pledge after pledge, just recording that. And it was so moving because of the sacrifice that you were giving to our church. To be honest, it was kind of a nervous time because we had worked hard on this building and what it would look like, but we weren't sure how it was all going to play out. We weren't sure what the financial response from you would be. And I'm so grateful to report that as we get close to wrapping up this campaign, that we have received sacrificial contributions of close to $2 million. And by God's grace, we are seeing people come to faith, of kids and adults being baptized, of being able to partner with others across the world in the work of ministry, of caring for others, and showing the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And in many ways, we are just getting started. So continue to pray for our church. Really pray. Continue to use your gifting. Engage in community with other believers. And continue to give as we partner together in the gospel. And we do all this because of the grace that we have received from God. As Paul gives this praise in verse 20, as he ends this section, he says, "To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." And that is what we say as well. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your grace. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity in this life to be able to partner with you so that people know the gospel, so that people come to faith in you and that their lives are transformed. And Lord, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, Lord, we thank you, Christ Jesus, for what you've done for us, how you sacrificed your body for us on the cross. Lord, help us to never move beyond that, but to continue to thank you for that. And because you've done that, help us, Lord, to give back to you. We ask all this in Jesus' name.